A Haynes School math teacher will take over music classes following the elimination of a music teacher position. And the House Finance Committee rejects a proposal to cut school bond reimbursements. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Last month, administrators at the Haynes School decided not to renew the contract of a music teacher to save money in the coming year. Administrators said the position would be filled internally by a current teacher. That led to strong opposition from some members of the community. Now the district has announced which teacher will lead the music program next year. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Mr. Matt Davis will be our music teacher.
That's Superintendent Tony Habra. Davis is currently the high school math teacher. Next year, he'll teach 5 periods of music a day and 1 period of math. Habra says one elective music class, music theory, will probably be cut. He says he's certain Davis is qualified to teach music.
He's taken classes in college. He's been in band all over the city. During Christmas, he was part of the trio that was asked to play repeatedly all over. He's been in the pep band.
Additionally, Habra says Davis will get ready for his new responsibilities with further training.
Then there'll be supports within the system to support him, people who have musical experience and can back him up.
This move comes as the district is expecting an about $360,000 budget deficit in the coming year. Last week, the school board voted 4-2 to accept the resignation of the current music teacher, Jason Messino. The vote came after testimony from more than a dozen people worried about the future of the music program. Here's Anne-Marie Fossman.
If the district releases Mr. Messino, I feel the music program will suffer.
Messino resigned after being told his position would be eliminated. According to Habra, that will save the school about $90,000. When Davis moves to music, that leaves an obvious gap in high school math. Habra wouldn't specify who will teach those classes or what other classes could be affected when things shift around.
You're not going to get an answer on that one. There just isn't one. I mean, I'd love to tell you that this stuff happens in a specific way every time, but it doesn't. It really depends on what goes on within the building, what's important to the students, and what students are signing up for.
He says there are multiple teachers certified and qualified to teach high school math within the district, indicating the classes will be distributed among several teachers. But he declined to name which teachers those are, saying they don't know at this point who will take on what. He said, given the number of qualified teachers, he doesn't think community members will be concerned about what this means for the future of the math department. Habra did say other classes will feel the effects of the change.
There will be other classes affected. And when I say affected, that doesn't necessarily mean gone forever. That could mean rotated through.
He says it's too soon to say exactly how this is all going to shake out.
We aren't ready to have a master schedule yet. Master schedules change all the time. Classes are cut all the time. Classes are added all the time. It really depends on what's best for the students and what the students need.
Habra pointed out that right now, the student-to-teacher ratio is pretty good compared to other districts in the state. It's currently 11 students for each certified teacher.
With this loss of 2 more certified teachers, we will be at about 12.5-1. The state average is 16-1, and they are including counselors. So I think we're still well below the average. We're still providing as much support as we can, and we still are providing a tremendous amount of opportunity for a district our size.
Though the details of what next school year will look like are vague, what is clear is that changes are coming as the district adjusts to a shrinking budget. Reporting in Haynes, I'm Abby Collins.
On Tuesday, the House Finance Committee changed course on a proposal to cut school bond debt reimbursements. The proposal would have left municipalities from Fairbanks to Wrangell with significant funding deficits. Haynes is one of the municipalities that would have been affected by the proposal. In 2005, Haynes built a new school, The borough took out more than $17 million in bonds to pay for construction, with the understanding that the state would help with the bill. The agreement was the state would fund 70% of the annual bond payments and the municipality would pay 30%. The proposal to reduce state payments by about half would mean a $450,000 loss for Haines.
That decrease will severely impact our local municipality.
Jeannie Kitayama is a Haines school board member. She was one of many people who testified to the House Finance Committee over the weekend against the proposed reduction. So did Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz. The reduction to state payments would have cost his municipality about $18 million.
There is a moral obligation to honor the bond debt reimbursement. As Robert Service once said, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the state made a promise, the state should keep it.
I think the testimony was convincing that we should restore the full amount of school debt reimbursement.
Representative Les Guerra of Anchorage introduced an amendment that would cancel out the previous proposal and restore school debt reimbursements to the full amount.
This is one that would hit local communities harder than I would like to hit them.
Some of the other Finance Committee members were opposed to Guerra's amendment, including North Pole Representative Tammy Wilson, who introduced more than 200 budget-cutting amendments this week.
Anytime you make cuts, it's going to be hard. And unfortunately, the state can't keep taking on responsibility.
Wilson said when municipalities took out these bonds, they knew there was a caveat that state payments were subject to annual appropriation.
But I want to make sure that it is clear that the legislature has been clear. So that's one thing that was in the comment, was that it was a promise that we were breaking, and it is not a promise that we broke.
Representative Guerra's amendment to restore full bond reimbursements passed 7-4. That takes the proposal that alarmed municipalities out of the Finance Committee's operating budget bill. But the legislature still has a ways to go before adopting a final budget, and there may still be cuts to state education funding on the way. Multiple House Finance Committee members said they were more supportive of a reduction to the state's base student allocation than a cut to the bond reimbursements. A 5% reduction to the BSA did not make it out of the House committee, but it may be on the table for the Senate Finance Committee, which is developing its budget amendment proposals this week. A new facility that could expand waste and recycling disposal options is in the works in Skagway. A total cost of construction for the solid waste recycling and public works facility and RV park is estimated to be about $22.5 million. KHNS's Abby Collins has more.
The cost estimates were broken down at a public meeting last month. The Solid Waste Advisory Committee has been working with the Juneau-based Corvus Design and P&D engineers to come up with the plans. A lot of support for the facility has come from residents who want to improve recycling in town. Right now, aluminum cans, glass, and cardboard can be recycled locally. Residents who want to recycle paper or plastic must drive it up to Whitehorse or bring it to Juneau. The community has supported better recycling options for some time. A 2008 survey showed 90% of respondents supported a more comprehensive recycling program. Solid waste is disposed of in an incinerator. The construction expenses were broken down to show what each part of the facility would cost, as it would likely be built in phases. The recycling, solid waste, and composting facility is estimated to be around $12 million. About $2 million would be added to that for an unheated storage area. A public works facility is anticipated to be around $3.5 million. And the final component, a 5-acre RV park, would cost roughly $4.2 million. Then there's another expense. Getting utilities out to the chosen location would cost just over $800,000. The facility would be near the Dyee turnoff on the Klondike Highway. Corey Thole is the chair of the Solid Waste Advisory Committee.
There is no access to water and sewer up there. So the biggest price tag would be before anything were to happen up there, before recycling center can happen out there, before an RV park can happen out there, before anything can happen out there that needs water and needs sewer.
That brings the grand total to about $22.5 million. There is an 18% contingency added to that number, so the cost could come down. Thole says although there is a substantial price tag on the facility, there is also a cost to not addressing the community's long-term solid waste disposal needs. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.